right. Hey, guys. This is Taryn in Las Vegas at the Girls Inc. studio, and this is A Tatter Effect. This is my new podcast that I started, and this is like, I think our third, is it our third episode, Olivia?
Yes, it is.
Say yes in the mic so we can hear you.
Yes, it is.
We mic'd up Olivia for this episode. This is our third episode, and so we're not pros yet. You're not, we're not smooth like peanut butter. We're a little bit like chunky peanut butter right now. But yeah, so, but we're having a ball, and we've got lots of these stacked up, so I'm super excited. So, hey, so my guest today, we've got her all the way from Northern California, like Redding. Reading area, kind of. Yeah. She is a PMU artist because, you know, we're going to be talking a lot of PMU on these episodes. So she's a PMU artist. She's super cool. She's tatted. She does kick ass work. You really do. Kick ass work. Who is it? Probably. Let me see. Let me drop them a hint. If you follow her on Facebook, you know, the one thing they know about you, Tara, if they follow you on Facebook, is what?
Man, that I fish too much and that my face is tattooed.
Yeah, no, that you
my
love.
Distinguishing marks.
Yeah, that you love fishing.
Yeah.
And you're tatted.
Yep.
And you do kick-ass work. All right.
That too.
So Tara Smith, Cosmetics.
Cosmetic Tattoo.
Tattoo, yeah. Northern California.
Very creative name.
Yeah, creative name. Well, you know.
Are
you want to know what my name was when I first started 20 years ago?
What? Well, I mean, what is it?
Right? Darling Faces.
Oh.
That was my name. Yeah, that was my name. That was my name. And my dad loved it. My dad loved it. He was, well, I was going back and forth between Girls Inc. and Darling Faces, right? And I ran it by my dad. My dad was like, well, you got to name it Darling Faces. You'll be the first darling on the World Wide Web. You got to be Darling Faces. So, you know, he was proud.
It was an obvious choice.
Yeah, it was an obvious choice. We named it Darling Faces. It was great. But then about 3 years into it, I started doing body tattoos. And I'm like, look, I can't be Darling Face and Body. That sounds like soap.
There you go.
Like a soap and gel shop at the mall. So I went back to Girls Inc. And that's how I got my name. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So anyway, I like your name, Tara Smith Cosmetic Tattoo.
It's simple, to the point.
I like, yeah, it's to the point. I like it.
Well, that's a cool last name.
But isn't that you?
Yep.
Okay. Simple, to the point.
Yeah, I try to be.
All right. So you do PMU.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, first of all, thank you for doing my podcast. I kind of just kind of sprung this on you a couple of days ago and you
thank
said,
you
yeah.
Me.
Yeah. 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 So do you want to tell why you were really up here? Not to do my podcast. I just kind of hijacked you.
I was here getting removal done, which is why my face under my eyes, I have tattoos everywhere on my face, but under my eyes, I was getting removed or lightened. And that's why it looks a little poofy and strange right now. The process was not bad, though, at all.
So you had Michonne remove the dots under your eyes.
And I love them. Definitely just wanted them lighter. I've had them since I was 16. So
oh, okay.
I'm 30 now.
30 now?
Yes, I know. I'm getting up there.
We're all, girl,
I'm
we're all getting
31.
Up there.
It's pandemic 30. Yeah. So
I'm over 40. That's all I say. I'm over 40. Yeah.
I like that. I guess
that's
I'm over
it.
30 now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just wanted them at least lightened, and I'm all the way in Northern California, but obviously you guys are removal queens down here, so.
Yeah, well,
it's
definitely our jam. Yeah. We love it. So you had Michonne do it.
Yes.
She's super good.
Super gentle.
Did lift. How'd it feel?
It was not bad. I was so scared. I know I'm super tattooed, but I'm a chicken shit, and I was scared, and it was not bad at all. The
not
salt bath
all.
At the end was a little spicy.
A little stingy, a little spicy. Yeah, yeah it
not
is.
Bad.
Yeah. I love it when the clients say, ooh, I feel that. It's stinging a little bit.
Because
then it makes me feel like
it's
working. Like, if they don't feel that, then I feel like, what the hell? Okay, it's not working. I'll blot it off, put another whole new coat of lift on there to get it working.
She kept applying it. I was like, man, I think it's in there, but.
So you just want them a little bit softer, a little bit lighter?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, not completely gone?
If they're completely gone, cool. But
you're happy with that?
My goal was to at least get them a little bit lighter. So.
Okay.
Realistic.
And you're leaving the other stuff. The name. What's the name above that eyebrow?
Oh, it says respect. Put some respect on it.
Okay.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah. So when we sat down, we've got a guest in the background. Her name is Callie. You know, she's way back there in the background. But she called you Post Malone a minute ago. That was cute.
I was like, oh, because I'm always tired. No, it's all the face tattoos.
But I like it.
I forget about them.
Yeah, I like your face tattoos. They suit you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So they're here to stay. Yeah. Except for the dots.
Right.
They're getting
except for here. the dots get out there. Yeah. Yeah. So are you going to add any more tattoos to the face or are you done?
I kept
just the face.
I said no like 3 tattoos ago. So, I mean, I could say no, but I might be lying. I might add some stuff around the border, kind of getting closed in here. So yeah. We'll see.
Okay. I wanted some stuff on my face, you know? Yeah. But then I met my wife, Kat. I told you this a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. So I met my wife, Kat, and, you know, she kind of made me...
She's like, no.
She was like, we'll, like, together strategically pick and place your next tattoos.
Like, I'll put your name right here.
Yeah. So you're right. So I had to, like, beg her to get my new sleeve. And so her thing right now is just not on the face, not on the neck.
That's what my mom said.
Yeah.
I was like 16, like surprise.
Yeah, I know. Well, whatever. So, you know, I got some stuff right here and I want it to kind of creep up and peep on my neck a little bit. I almost got her convinced to let me do that. So we'll see. All right. So you've been doing permanent makeup 4 years.
4 years.
4 years. Okay. So how, I know you have an interesting story on how you got into permanent makeup.
Yeah.
All right.
Kind of. We'll see if it's interesting. I started messing around with tattooing when I was like 15, 16.
Like body tattooing.
Body tattooing.
Okay.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Had my twins when I was 19. So I kind of, you know, that
twin one, boys, girls.
One of each.
One of each. They're nice. All right.
Well, bratty sixth graders. Love
yeah.
them. So that just kind of got put on the back burner, you know, parenting and dealing with all that
right.
stuff. And then I came across a chick that came into my town once in a while, worked at a tattoo shop and did permanent makeup, and she did all types of weird permanent makeup, but I was like, that's interesting. I can get into that.
Right.
And,
so like blush.
Yeah.
Did she do eyeshadow?
Oh yeah.
That's like so 80s. I'm surprised people still do that. Like that's so 80s.
Looking back, like I'm like, there's no way in hell I would do any of that.
Yeah. But it doesn't age well.
I was like, oh, how neat. You know, when you first hear about that, you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
So I started looking into classes. I trained with Jen Boyd before when she was training for a company.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 4 years ago.
Well, at least you picked a really good trainer right off the gap. But
I've taken multiple classes with her.
Yeah, she's just not. She's not only like a stand-up artist. She's like a stand-up human being.
She's the best.
Yeah, she is the best.
Her mom.
I love
her.
You call her mom.
Yeah,
I do love her.
Very important. To
actually,
me.
When I was, because we're gonna collab on a project, mm-hmm. and I was looking for someone particular that like fit my jam and was badass and super skilled and super good. And Jen was up here hanging out with me and I was telling her what I was looking for. We won't reveal it yet, but, immediately she didn't have to think. She was just like Tara Smith. And I'm
she's
like, yeah, all right. Okay.
I've sent so many people her way too, just because she's just such a quality trainer. So
no, she is.
I trained with her originally and then, took a class with Will Anthony.
Yeah.
After that for longer.
Another great artist. Great guy.
Different teaching skills. I love both.
Yeah.
Almost cried a little. No.
Will made you cry?
No, not at all.
I've witnessed Will make a few cry because we trained together. We've done some classes together. Not you. No. You made him cry.
Yeah.
Because he does.
I'm so
he does. No. No, he does. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a little crybaby.
He is a little crybaby.
No. So yeah, then I just kind of dove right in and just kept taking classes and learning.
Okay.
Doing all that. And it's just been, you know, I worked 7 days a week for the first 3 years, not because I had to, but because I wanted to. And I was just so into
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So this last year I've like forced myself to take days off, but I love it.
So. Yeah. So what was your, you know, lots of newbies, you know, and there's always a struggle. I mean, filling your book with clients, you know, you don't have any money at first. You're putting money out for like tools and products and classes. So what, you know, did you go through the struggle? Like what was your struggle like?
I saved up for my class and I found out what licensing I would need where I lived before I even took the class.
Right.
Saved up for what I was going to have to pay for to get the room. You know, they have $400 to come just look at your room and make sure it's okay.
Yeah.
All that. I looked into it first. I think a lot of people just take this class and then they want to start and it's like, oh, but I don't have any money now to do all this stuff I have to do.
Yeah.
So,
so you saved,
I planned, you saved.
So you probably researched.
I planned a little bit. Yeah. And then when I got into it, there was only really one other person where I lived doing it, like really old school style. And, I've been busy since I started. I've been very fortunate and I've gotten a good reputation where I live. But I think that's the biggest thing is just don't think that your class is the only and last thing you're going to have to pay for.
Yeah.
That's probably the cheapest part.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Right. I gotcha. So and you're in Northern California,
far northern.
Okay, Redding is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'm like an hour and a half, 2 hours from Oregon. So
right, and it's a little country bumpkin.
It's rednecky,
right?
Up there.
Right. You said it, not me.
Oh yeah, I'll say it.
I don't know if that's like a faux pas
like
nowadays.
It.
Can you say that word nowadays?
I don't know. I'm a little rednecky, so
yeah, okay, right. Well, like I'm gay. I can say certain words that straight people can't say.
There you go.
So okay. All right, well, I got it. So was it hard finding clientele being in, you know, a little bit more of a,
you know,
country town?
I think like microblading, especially was, which is what I started with originally, was such a buzzword that because we weren't up and saying tattoo, mm-hmm. even though it's a tattoo,
right.
People were like, oh, I've heard about that. Like, I really want to try it, you know? So I didn't have any issues, you know, but they still were like, oh, I want this because it's not like a tattoo. I'm like, well, it is, but
yeah,
you know, sure.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to think.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have any problems with it right off the bat. I was
so your book filled up pretty good. Started making money
busy.
Right away.
Something like that for everybody, especially you know, it's super saturated. It's
That's right. That's right. So, I started 20 years ago here in Vegas, and I was probably the youngest one coming into the Vegas scene as a permanent makeup artist. Everyone else that was already here, they were a lot older than me. And I was a little bit different. I was tattooed and, you know, and I was a little bit different. And I set up shop in a salon, like a 10,000 square foot salon.
That's what I did. I was in the salon.
Yeah, with like 50 or 60 hairdressers, nail techs, estheticians.
It's great for getting clients.
Yeah, it was great getting clients, you know, but I definitely went through the struggle and I had to hit the pavement and put flyers. Back then we put flyers out. There was no, you know, Facebook or anything like that. But so let's talk a little bit about California. So California, you just did the live Instagram with me. We gave away, you know, the Girls Inc. monthly giveaway. But it was a California artist who won the giveaway. And I was especially happy it was a California artist because they just opened up California.
Yes.
But from what I understand, not all of California has been shut down these last 10 months. Just the Southern California area?
I think it's almost all of California was like that. Where I am... it's very country folk. So we were shut down until about end of July.
So were your COVID cases lower?
They were lower. So we were kind of like, why are we on such bad lockdown?
Right.
But also everyone just kind of, they were over it, you know, and they were like, we don't really care what the state is telling us. So
they rebelled.
Yeah.
So even though maybe they were supposed to be shut down, they were just like, screw it.
They were just like with safety precautions. Like,
right.
You can open, like you can't just keep, you know, and I was shut down till the end of July. I didn't get any loans, any unemployment, none of that. So it was rough, but the rest of California has, you know, just now opened. That's so crazy.
Yes. I know. Yeah. Like 10 months, you know, and I didn't announce this before the podcast started, but we are not in masks. But Kat and I came in and measured, we were a little over six feet apart and I've been tested regularly.
Yep.
And I know you have, we had that conversation. So, all the guests that come on here, we're going to make sure that, you know, they've been testing all this stuff. So it's just what you got to do right now, you know, but, all right. So that's cool. So you started with microblading and how'd you like it? Did you like
You know, because when the idea of permanent makeup, I thought it was going to be just machine, but then like something, you know, you saw microblading again because it's very, very popular.
Right.
It was just kind of starting back then. And I was like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
So I always knew I was going to be doing a lot of machine work, but I started with microblading class. It was different. Microblading is really hard to do correctly.
Right.
Until you get the hang of it and you're like, oh, you know, it just clicks.
Yeah.
It could be so bad so easily, you know?
Yeah.
But when done right, it's a great procedure. When done on the right skin, on the right person.
Yeah, I think that's probably don't you find it limiting? Like it's a great art form,
you know,
but it's limiting.
When I started, I'll be honest, I worked on anybody, you know, you just want to get going.
Right. Yep.
And thankfully those people that I'm seeing back now for like touch-ups, I'm like, oh, we're going to do a powder brow on you. Not that bad, but
we're going to cover that shit up.
But it's like, you know, I'm like, oh, you were not a good candidate. You know?
Right.
And there's a lot of that learning when you first start.
Exactly.
And I had a great teacher. And so I knew you know, don't do this on people who've had previous tattoo eyebrows. Like a lot of people don't get that though, and they just kind of work on whoever, and they're like, oh yeah, well, this looks like,
well, and I think some people don't care either. Some people just don't care.
And I had a little bit of not caring right away, I'll be honest. Like, just because I wanted to practice, I'm like, I just, you know, you might have wrinkly skin and you might not be a great candidate, but I'm going to practice on you right now.
Right.
That's why you're getting it for you know, $100
Yeah.
When you first start. But over time, doing it the right way, learning who and who is not a candidate for it.
Do you think it's seeing your own work back and having to face it, which maybe kind of gets you to like, okay.
I was lucky. I've been pretty good from the start. Like, looking back now, I'm like, oh my God, but it's not even that bad.
So right out of the gate, you were pretty good.
Yeah.
You were doing pretty damn good brows.
Yeah.
You know what, Tara, you can tell when you look at your work. No, I mean, if people aren't familiar with your work, they should go check it out. You do kick ass work. You're welcome.
So yeah, but seeing that first stuff back, it's really, it really wakes you up a little bit. Yeah. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, and I haven't ever done anything I couldn't really adjust or fix or make.
No, you're lucky. Great. You're lucky.
You know, I've never had anybody be unhappy either. I'm just like, but as you get better, you know, you take more classes, which is so important.
Yeah.
Educating yourself. Yeah. I still take classes. You know, you learn from your mistakes, I'll say.
Right. So, but you did cross over into machine. So how long were you on microblading before you decided to get on machine?
That's a good question. It wasn't that long.
Well, not that long.
No, not at all. Man, was it in the same year? It was in the same year.
Well, I think that's okay. Don't you think that's okay?
Oh yeah.
So, well, some people have the mindset where you need to master this and get really good for it before you jump on the other thing. And
I don't think you should do like a class where you learn lips, eyes, and brows all, you know, in 2 days or 3 days or whatever. Right. But I think it's okay, you know, to jump into something else not that long after, you know, because you might like that better and ditch the first thing. Who knows?
Yeah. So you're on machine now. You've been on machine the last 3 years. So let me ask you this. Are you doing, because you like hair stroke eyebrows?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you like powder brows too, right?
I like powder brows.
Okay. But you still like hair strokes. Yep. So are you choosing the machine now to do your hair strokes with, or are you still going back to the hand tool?
I use the hand tool a lot. I like it. But some people, you know, they're like, I only want to do machine hair strokes, or some people will hate them. I think when I master the machine hair stroke a little more, I'll love it.
Okay.
You know,
so you haven't quite mastered
it. Like,
So what's your struggle? Like, are your lines coming out a little shaky? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I was having a hard time with in a sunlight text on somebody's face.
Yeah.
I was having a hard time. I was like, I feel like that line's just not like, it just looks so squiggly. It's like, you know. And then I switched my machine.
Are you using a single needle?
Yes.
What size?
You know what? For practicing, I don't even know what I'm using.
Okay.
I'm like, if I'm doing this on somebody's face, I'm going to be like, this is what I'm using. Exactly. But I'm like, practicing, I'm grabbing whatever I have. I see first.
Well, you know, you got to use single needle, but not really. I mean, you really can use like a bug pin, like let's say a 0.203 tight liner, right? And get super crisp, fine hair strokes.
Right.
But most of the industry doesn't know that, or they're not taking advantage of that yet. I see them trying, you know, picking up the smallest single needle like available, like a 0.20. And to me personally, I think that's just a little bit too small.
Yeah.
And the single needle is the hardest to master. So imagine a single needle, but you get a 3. It's like a single needle with training wheels, right? Yeah. It's a little bit more stable. Yeah. It shows less quiver, I guess is the way to put it. So,
well, when I switched over, say I use rotary and coil. When I switched over, I was using the Zion to try to do the hair strokes, and I love that machine. I use it daily.
Yeah.
Just having issues. I'm like, I feel like these don't look great. Maybe it's just me. I'm going to quit. I tried the Bishop V6.
The V6.
And
yeah.
I was like, holy shit. Like, these look good. Mm-hmm. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
That was a recent finding. So, I'm going to feel brave and try it on some people.
The
soon.
V6.
It was weird.
And what's so funny, Tars, a lot of people don't like the Bishop V6 for hair strokes because it's, you know, it weighs a little bit more. It's a powerful machine, you know, and you know, it's not this delicate thin pin type that, you know, the PMU industry is used to for hair strokes.
Yeah.
So it's got a little bit more oomph to it.
But I didn't think to use it. You know, I was
But I'm
desperate.
I like the Bishop V6. It's a good machine.
It's nice.
Yeah. And I vibration doesn't bother me. It's never bothered me.
I was trained on a coil with Will.
That's it. Yeah.
I kind of was used to something a little heavier and loud and, you know, the vibration right away.
Well, I think I was talking about this with Chris Sanford. He makes the Rook and manufacturer of the Rook. And it's like, I find the PMU, you know, hair stroke artists, you know, we sell machines. So they reach out to me all the time. And one of the number one question is, vibration, you know, does it have zero vibration? They're the artist that does the hair strokes, they're looking for the machine that has like almost no noise and like zero vibration. And I was talking to Chris and like, okay, so if you get into a machine with like zero vibration, like if you reduce the vibration of a machine so much to where it's pleasing to the permanent makeup artist, do you lose something along the way with power or anything like that, you know? And I've got him coming on a podcast, so I'm not going to divulge like what he said. No, we'll talk about that. But that's an interesting, you know, that's an interesting subject all on its own.
I'm like the opposite. I don't want like a dainty machine. Everyone wants those, you know, $20 Alibaba pens because they're so light and they're cordless. I'm like, I just want something I could like feel in my hand. It's like substantial.
I'm always like, put your big girl panties on, man. Get a machine in your hand.
Yeah, it feels different.
Yeah, it does feel different. And I think, and you get used to it, just like in time, right? You get used to it. But I think the noise that a machine makes, it doesn't have to be loud like a coil, but for instance, like the Valhalla or the Bishop Phantom, they make a little noise and they have some vibration. But I think that's your machine talking to you, right? You know, when we can hear your noise, you can feel, I mean, when you can hear your machine, you can feel it. You can feel the vibration. That's your machine like communicating.
You hear what it's doing.
Yeah. You can hear what it's doing. It lets you kind of know where you are depth wise in the skin and you know, whatnot. So I like a little noise and a little vibration with my machine. Mm-hmm. So I wish our industry would kind of get over that a little bit and embrace, you know, a little noise and a little vibration because that would open up their choice of machine a lot, right?
I also think the grip thing, like wanting like the smallest pin. I'm like, I wrap mine so it's thick.
Thick.
It's easier to hold. Yeah. My hand hurts less.
But you kind of you don't really come from body tattooing, but
I worked in tattoo shops.
But you did work in tattoo shops and you showed me a tattoo out there that you did. The banana thing.
Yes.
So you've done some body tattooing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why? And that's who I bounced my, you know, like questions off of them with the boys at the shop. I'm like, hey, like I need help with this or why is this doing this?
Yeah.
Because I didn't have anyone else to really talk to about it. I don't always want to bug, you know, people in the industry that I know out of town. I'm like, hey,
right. So what about needles? So do you like, are you preferring needle on the bar? You come from a body tattoo background. So are you like a needle on the bar or are you like a cartridge girl?
I like needle on the bar.
Yeah.
I would say I like prefer it, but
we got that
very
in common.
Stuck in like the convenience of cartridges.
Yeah. Right.
Which I hate to say.
Which is the whole industry right now. Yeah. Yeah.
But needle on the bar, it just feels so much more stable.
Yeah.
Especially for doing outlines for winged eyeliner.
Right. You know, right.
Hair strokes that I'm trying to master.
Yeah.
Machine hair strokes. So I'm very stuck in I'm just going to throw a few cartridges on here because I'm doing three different procedures on this lady and like, you know, switch them out 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But I really like, I'm going to be better about that.
and set up the needle on the bar.
Yeah.
Well, I started on needle on the bar and I'm still needle on the bar on like eyeliner and really like detailed work. I started my girls here on needle on the bar and now they have a hard time with cartridge. And I think, and you're right, the cartridge needle is super convenient. It is more expensive. You can get a needle on the bar, each needle on the bar.
It's so much cheaper.
Like 5 cents.
Yeah.
You know, you get a box of like 50 for like 20 bucks.
Like it's more like you have a little more control over it. It's weird with cartridge. I just feel like they're kind of.
There's a flutter to them. Yeah. There's a little bit more of a vibration. With that needle on the bar, there is no flutter vibration. It is extreme precision. Mm-hmm. And with the cartridge needle, there is, you know, that little vibration, that little flutter.
It's working too. It makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. Right. But if you didn't start on needle on the bar and you don't have that to reference back to, and all you've ever used is cartridge, you don't know that. You don't know what you're missing.
I did the Brow Slayer class with Will and Jen.
Okay.
A couple years ago. I'm like going to blame this on him for putting the Zion in our kits. And yeah. I was like, oh, this is cool. And yeah. cartridges, this is easy. And then I kind of like stopped using that coil machine I had for a while.
Right.
But I had switched back to it for a little bit because I'm like, man, I miss this. I just feel like it's getting in there better. And, you know.
Yeah.
But coil or needle on the bar, whatever, it's just, it's nice. I need to stop being lazy and start breaking down.
Stop being lazy, Tara.
I know.
Like, God. So let's talk about your, let's start here. So, you're doing brows. Are you doing eyeliner? You took Will's class.
Yeah, I do eyeliner.
You doing lips?
Yep.
Doing areolas?
Not yet.
All right.
I've been working and painting and drawing them though. So.
All right. It's probably my favorite procedure.
Oh yeah.
Just because.
It's not to love about nipple, you know, they're cool.
Yeah. You know, and it's really emotional.
Yeah.
You know, it's really touching work and it's,
Well, I paint. I'm an artist, so
yeah.
I just feel like I don't know. I need to be doing it.
You'd probably be really good at it then, because you understand the concept of
light and dark. It's been a weird time for training, so
it is. You know, we keep getting asked if we're doing trainings, and I just decided this year I'm not going to do any group trainings at the studio. I'm just not. I'm super. You know, we wear our masks, and I'm and following all the protocol gladly. You know, but. I can't be in a mask for 8-9 hours, you know, talking the way I talk in a class, passionate and like, oh, I'm all over the place and running. And, you know, I got students on models. I will keel over and die. I mean, the mask, it's hard. I can wear it for a couple of hours and then I got to get out of it and give myself a break. You know, I was getting headaches and whatnot. I tried a class with it and I got sick.
Yeah.
I think I got sick. I know Amber gets, you know, not feeling well after all day. And
yeah,
a mask.
You guys are like doubling them up and stuff.
We're doubling
safe,
them up.
So
yeah. And I've been getting tested. Yeah. You know, I got COVID in November.
Same.
Yes.
In November.
Yeah. So I had to stay home and I got very mild symptoms. It was great. And me and my wife split. I went out into, we have a little casita. And so I stayed out there and she stayed in the house and she didn't get it, you know, thank God. But, you know, they don't know if you can get it again. I don't want to get it again. If you can get it again, I certainly don't want to give it to my wife. So, you know, we're following the safety stuff.
Group
classes are on the back burner, but they'll come, you know, I just think the industry is going to really, you know, I think 2022 is going to be like our year, right? That's when the conventions will all come back and all that stuff. And we'll be all ready. So it'll be crazy, but
I want to do an areola class for sure.
All right.
It's on my list. I've just been painting and kind of drawing them and messing around.
Well, Michonne just came to me and wants to do one. So maybe when she's ready, you know, to do her first one, you could drive up.
You know, I think we had talked about that, like when because I took a training, girls Inc. training in Florida.
I remember that.
Eyeliner, yeah.
Was it Amber? Was it with Amber?
Amber, yeah. And Michonne was there helping and we were talking about wanting to do one back then.
Yeah.
So
my two, they haven't done them yet. They just haven't asked me. I just come and ask me when you're ready to learn them, you know, but Michonne just came to me like a week ago.
She's ready.
So maybe you could drive up.
I would.
Maybe do a weekend together or something. I'll bring in a couple models and we'll just tattoo some areolas.
I'm down.
All right. So good. So what's your favorite procedure?
Well, I have a love-hate relationship with eyeliner.
Yeah, me too.
I love it when it's done. I hate getting ready to start it because eyes are stressful.
Yeah, right.
So
lips are the same way.
Lips, you know, I've gotten like, I've just kind of
gotten over the hump
with lips. I'm like, all right, I got this down quick.
But I still don't, you know? I'm like you. I love eyeliner, but when it's over. It's during eyeliner.
It's so unpredictable. People in their skin. So I would say, you know, I get asked that by clients all the time, and I always want to just say brows because I'm, you know, I could do a brow quick, easy,
quick.
Good, got it. I know I'm good at it.
Yeah.
Eyeliner is more rewarding, so are lips because they're a little more difficult, challenging, I guess, to do.
Yeah.
I would say eyeliner just
eyeliner.
It's satisfying when it's in there and done.
So listen, I had somebody the other day, she said, look, you know, she heard some trainer, someone, I don't know what, but say that, you know, eyeliner shouldn't be done on anybody over 70, 70 years old. What do you think about that?
I have done eyeliner on a 93-year-old client and she's like the best and her eyes are amazing. So,
well, you know, she asked me, you know, and she said, what do you think? I mean, should we not be doing eyeliner on women over 70? And I'm like, well, first of all, my two nanas would be like telling that trainer, like, you know, what?
Yeah.
You know, most of my clientele nowadays because Amber Michon stole all my young, cute ones. But, you know, they're all women over 60.
Those are my favorite clients.
Yes.
I know a girl that I used to hang with. And she was like, oh, I just, you know, I really hate getting older clients. And like anybody even, it was ridiculous. I'm like, those are my favorite. They're so easy. They're easy to please.
Really
they
easy
sit
to
there
please.
And they just take whatever you're doing to them. And
exactly.
It's fine. You know, they're not calling me in 3 days.
Why and if you piss them off, right? Because sometimes we piss off our clients or our clients get pissed off at us for no reason. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go on Yelp and social media and try to destroy you.
No.
Because that's like what happens with the younger girls.
No, I'm like, I will take every older client.
I love my older ladies. And I have probably, I have done hundreds of eyeliners on women in their 70s, 80s. And my oldest eyeliner client I have done, she was 94 years old.
It's right up there with mine.
Yeah. So I don't understand why, I don't understand the reason or the concept behind not doing eyeliner on women over 70. Or isn't that the age group that needs it the most? They can't see no more, right? Their hands are shaking.
I feel like they're the best or the easiest.
They're the best and the easiest. And we're not doing big old wings and thick eyeliner, for Christ's sakes. We're doing lash enhancements, natural eyeliners, right? They don't swell as much as the young girls, I think. I don't know why.
No, they don't.
They're not crybabies.
Nope.
Like the young girls. I don't know why.
I love working on them.
They heal great. And they're so happy. And then they send five of their ladies they play cribbage with, right?
Half of them have had permanent makeup from 10, 20 years
ago. That's right.
They know what's going
on. Right, right.
They're pleasantly surprised when it takes you a quarter of the time, that, you know, from the first time they had it done.
Yes. So I don't know. I don't agree with that. But
no,
hey, you know,
they're
we can all agree to disagree, right? And there's a lot of that in the industry. So
just tell them, send them my way. It's
I never get judgy, but, you know, we'll send them.
Everybody's an expert now, so.
Yeah, you know. Right. Well, yes, I know. I know. I see it. I just stay away from it all. So, yeah. But eyeliner, so you're doing big wings?
When the eye allows me
it, good. Yeah. That's good. So
I loved that training for wing liner. Like, Amber is a kick-ass trainer.
Yeah.
Very informative. I felt like, I really felt comfortable right away. Like,
yeah.
When you leave a training, you have to do stuff on your own. You're like, oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah.
I figure this out by myself in my studio. That trainer's not there hovering over me, making sure I do it correctly.
Right.
I felt super comfortable right away doing the first one at home. Killed it.
That's good,
you know,
man.
So
yeah. But you seem really confident and like,
I try.
Got your shit together. So
no
Amber,
choice, you know?
Yeah. So Amber was with me maybe a year and a half doing eyebrows. And then one day I just walked an eyeliner in her room. You're doing eyeliner today? She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, you're doing it. And it was
I hear you like to spring things on.
I do. I'm that kind of mentor. Yeah, I do. Because if I plan it and they get in their book, then it's
in your head.
And they get in their head too much. So yeah, I just surprised them throughout their whole time here. So and it wasn't a lash enhancement. It wasn't a skinny mini eyeliner. I gave her like a baby wing. And she was like, the other day I was just talking to her about her very first eyeliner. I sprung up and she'll probably never forget that the rest of her life. Right. And I'm like, one day you're going to have artists under you and you're going to do the same damn thing to them that I did to you. And you're going to love it. It's going to be great. But she was like, after that eyeliner tear, and I went out into the parking lot and I sat in my car and I cried for 30 minutes. I couldn't even drive. I'm like, can you imagine what you would have done to yourself if I had told you you're doing an eyeliner that day?
It's like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Eyeliner is stressful.
It is stressful.
Wings.
It is stressful.
People are so weird about everything being so even and there's so much swelling.
Yeah.
You're like, ugh.
Yeah. So it bothers me a little bit when trainers or, you know, artists, you know, really good artists out there make it. Or even, you know, their own words. It's really easy. And, you know, I don't even use numbing creams. That bothers me a little bit because I think everything we do is really hard and technical and a lot can go wrong. And so, you know, I think you have to take it really seriously and it's harder for some than others.
It's like, more appealing when you tell them it's not hard, you know,
it's more appealing. It makes you look like a badass, but you know, eyeliner's not easy, man.
No.
And to this day, I've probably done 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 of them. And it's still not easy. You got to be on your game and it's stressful. And
each eye is so different.
You are so different. You never know. It's probably
different.
The most stressful thing is you don't know how that client's going to react or how that lid skin. I mean, on any given moment, they can puff up, you know, or stay pretty good or, you know, they can start crying like a baby.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yep.
But all right. So that's cool. So, all right. So let's talk a little bit more about your tattoos.
Yeah. What about them?
Okay. So
got a couple.
Well, I'm a studio here, and all of us, you know, have tattoos and piercings, and Amber and Michonne have, you know, bright red hair, bright green hair. And we've had a couple older ladies walk in, and I think one incident I remember, I think Amber was out at the front desk, and I was consulting with an older gal, and she pointed right at Amber and was like, "I don't want her." And I was like, "Why?" She goes, "That red hair and the tattoos, it's just not fair. I don't want her." And it really offended me.
That's offensive.
It's super offensive. Yeah. And I walked her back in my room, and her and I had a chat, you know. And then I did have a chat with Amber privately because I wanted her to be mentally and emotionally prepared for that, you know, that's going to happen. So you have, you know, tattoos on your face, on your neck.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. So Tara, you know, have you had to go through that? Have any of your clients walked in and like been super judgy or decided, okay, I don't want you because of that?
Yeah.
Or
I've had it happen. I get a lot of referrals from plastic surgeons, doctor's offices. One of my good friends is a doctor who does medical aesthetics. I get a lot of referrals from her, and I don't really post pictures of myself on my work page. I just never have. I don't know. It's just not my jam.
Is it because of your tattoos and you're afraid you're going to get judged?
I feel like a little bit maybe, but mostly I'm just like,
but that's really sad.
And here's that, you know,
that's sad to me though.
So spring it on them when they see me, and if, you know, they don't like it, they can kick rocks.
So you're into the, like the shock factor. Yeah. Let's just shock them with it. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, I've had it happen. I am never nice about it.
You're not nice about it.
There's no reason to be.
So you get kind of mouthy.
I'm my own boss. I'm not going to get, this isn't Applebee's. If I'm rude to you, you're not going to tell my manager.
So I asked you this out here. So you're a little edgy. You could be a little moody,
a little bit.
Okay. Has it gotten you into trouble?
I mean,
in the PMU industry?
Well,
no names.
I will call people out for stuff if it needs to be done.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to be
more people should.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, they should.
You know, call people on their shit.
And there's a way to do it professionally, and there's an asshole way to do it.
Right. So I'm kind of borderline both.
You're in between professional and asshole.
I'm really like testing the waters there. Yeah, I've gotten, you know, I think I've gotten myself in any trouble just because I'm like, who am I in trouble with?
Yeah. But can you handle? So if you call someone out and they turn right around and they come right back at you, can you handle the heat?
I'm like, I know my work's good. I know, you know, I don't do anything sketchy. I don't, you know, do these sketchy trainings or anything. So I'm like, what are you really going to say?
Yeah. No, you're solid. You're solid. Yeah. Yeah. You're solid.
So, you know, a lot of stuff, I think people will say, oh, you're bullying that person now. You know, it's like calling somebody out for their stuff.
Yeah.
You know, or doing something the wrong way or like, you know, working in a gross way. Like that's not bullying somebody. Like if they're tattooing on a pillow, you know, and you're telling them not to, and they're going to argue with you about it.
Yeah. Well, we've got, you know, look, the industry has definitely its fair share of like soldiers, you know, that are out there calling, you know, people out, you know, Will Anthony does, you know, he gets into trouble sometimes, you know, and I used to, you know, I've had my fair share.
I've typed and deleted many times because I'm
right.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Today.
My whole thing is like, I told Will, look, in the minute you read something, your emotions are super high. Like you're super angry. They're super high. And your fingers, you just want to go right to the keyboard. I said, Will, you know, walk away for a minute, you know, let it, you know, calm down.
Let it marinate.
Yeah. Let it marinate a little bit, you know, then sit down and look, there's nothing wrong with engaging someone, right? Especially if you have a difference of opinion. And I think that's maybe what I dislike. I'm going to ask you what you dislike about the industry the most, and what I dislike about the industry is probably what I like about the dislike about the world right now is you can't agree to disagree. You can't have a difference of opinion, debate a topic, but do it professionally with kindness, a nice tone in your voice without offending anybody, you know, and I think the industry would do better, grow better, it would evolve better. We'd all probably be better if we could debate our differences, talk about our different opinions without the bullshit that ends up happening, right? Then you end up getting bullies and the drama, people get mean, blocking. It's like, that's just not me. I am not that kind of person. So I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to sit there and argue with somebody who thinks they're right when I know they're doing something wrong either. No. I'll just be like, all right.
Yeah.
You know, cool.
Yeah. Right.
Back
right.
up then. Try right. to warn you.
Right.
It's just the energy.
Well, for some people, they have the attitude, well, it's better to be right. You know, I'm yeah. happiest when I'm right, you know.
And
they
I don't
just,
like being wrong either, but I also know well, when I'm wrong and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
hey,
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah. Well, I'm wrong a lot, yeah. you know. So, I mean, we all are as humans. We're right a lot. We're wrong a lot, you know. And then on subjects, some subjects in PMU, there's no right or wrong. It's not black or gray. It's just there's a million ways to do a lot right. of things, and it's all right.
Except for sanitation.
Except for, yeah. Bloodborne pathogens. Except yep. for sanitation, you're right. There's no black or gray
no,
there.
There's no. That's it. Otherwise,
is that your pet peeve in PMU?
I would say so.
That's your pet peeve.
But that probably has a lot to do with early training from Will and it being drilled into my brain, yeah. and then working yeah. in tattoo shops too. And so I'm like, if I see something off, I'm like, ugh, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Say something.
Yeah. Well, I don't get why the training. I don't understand. I know what your pet peeve is. I know you're gonna. Right. Lack of education. Yeah. And that's probably why there's a lot of, you know, abuses, out there going on when you're talking tri-set up and cleanliness and sanitation.
It's just so skipped over.
It's so skipped over.
One day classes with like 50 people. Yeah. You know, it's why would that be the focus? You want to get them in there teaching them what you're yeah. trying to do. It's yeah. like, it's on the back burner. And yeah. you see these people tattooing and on blankets and, you know, lash setups and
right.
touching their face or using right. like food handler gloves. It's right. gross.
So this is a controversial subject. So we'll both be a little careful, but, is it, and I've had this conversation, you know, with other people. So the, you know, there's trainers that do the training circuit. Some of them don't even really do clients like, you know, much anymore if they do very yeah. little, but they travel. And they are setting up their trainings all over the country, all over the world. Right. And they're doing, you know, massive amounts of people. And they're making great money. And some of these trainers are good. I mean, they're mm-hmm. skilled, right? They're doing great work. You know, their procedures are great. But they're in and they're out and they're in and out. So I guess the question is it the trainer? Are they the ones responsible for all this bad training and cross-contamination issues? Or is it the technician that's
I love
bought
question.
That seat. She went to that class.
Everybody's guilty.
Everybody's guilty.
So
you think everybody's guilty.
Are the major issue.
So how do trainers that want to keep doing this, right? Maybe they love it. They love being on the road. They love traveling. They love teaching. The big crowd maybe excites them. They do got something to teach, but I agree with you. Some important things are not being instilled in that student. And maybe that's the only class that
no
one artist,
you know, like
how does the trainer fix that?
No shortcuts. Like don't skip over things that are super important, like teaching, you know, proper trace it up. And
so maybe they should have a section in their class
100%
and where they're teaching that
you're a little one day class you're doing. Maybe it needs to be 2 days, you know.
What if they did something like this? This was an idea I had.
Require them to do bloodborne pathogens online before.
Before they go to the class.
You don't want to take the time to do that in person.
Right.
That, I mean, which.
I had a great idea. Tell me if you think my great. You can, yes. Don't lie to me. No, you don't think my idea is good. But, you know, because, you know, I know some of these people that travel all over the place and he's doing these big classes. But you're right. They're in and they're out and they're only teaching the procedure. Mm-hmm. And there's no regulations, you know, with permanent makeup. So for some art technicians, that can be the only class they ever take. What if the trainer does their thing? They teach their eyebrow or their eyeliner class. They got 50 people. But then they give them all like a free code to take an online bloodborne pathogen cross-contamination class that trainer filmed, recorded, and put together.
That's what I was just going to say.
That's a good idea.
Pre-record this.
Yes.
Have them watch it before they make it to your little class.
Yes.
You know, have a lot of that work done already.
And then maybe they have a year access to it, you Tara. Know? So when they leave the class, it's like you've got access, a year access to a bloodborne pathogen class, cross-contamination
class.
Then
there's nothing on the trainer. Then if they're still being a dipshit and tattooing on a pillow, then right. it's their fault. You yeah. know.
All your trainers, you take my idea and just run with
there
it.
There you go.
Yeah, it's free.
There you go.
I won't accuse you of stealing my idea.
It's a good
I think
idea.
It is a good idea. And I think that will solve the problem, yeah. I think, right? Because you don't want to stop these trainers from doing their jam.
No, do it.
Exactly.
Just do it the right way.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Stop. I mean, you're... these people that are just getting, you know, messed with on the boards because they're posting pictures of their work or trying to get advice. And then you see the disgusting setup that they have going on. You're like right. traumatized at like all the issues in it. All of that would stop if you, for the most part, if you just train them correctly to begin with, you know,
I agree.
But people take it, you know, I didn't know anything about permanent makeup when I first started and I still researched. It's like, don't take the first, you know, first class you see with like a pretty flyer, like really look into it and like,
right.
And like, look at people who have trained with them and like, look at their work and like read reviews and do your homework so that you're not stuck crying about this $5,000 course that you paid for that. Right. You feel like you're so, you don't know what to do. I didn't feel like that at all because I did my research on June when I first.
But in our industry, they want things fast and quick, right?
It's not like that.
No, it's not like that. And you know, that's where the body tattoo industry is a little bit different, right? It's not like that in body tattooing. I mean, you pay your dues, man. Yeah. You get into an apprenticeship, you know, 18 months, 2 years, a year.
And it's
And it's rough. You know, I did an 18-month apprenticeship here at the Skin Factory under Eddie Lynn, and it's rough. Do you know? You know, and in permanent makeup, they just want everything really fast. I mean, some people, you know, they take a class, couple day class or a week class, they get licensed. And within that year or, you know, they're training in that same year, which maybe some people.
You haven't even seen your long-term results back yet. Like your color boosts, you know, your.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know what that work you did 6 months ago looks like.
Yeah. Well, and that's what totally screwed LI Pigments. It really messed with LI Pigments reputation because when microblading hit the scene 5 years ago, maybe somewhere around there, 6 years ago, somewhere around there, I mean, you just, all these trainers teaching microblading and they barely had 6 months under their belt and they were buying LI and giving LI kits and they were telling all their students, add on gray to everything
because you know that'll make it not ash out.
We'll make it not ash out
way too deep.
Yeah, instead of addressing their depth and their technique and the angle of the needle, just slam a bunch of ungray, slam a bunch of orange in all your pigments for every client. And what ended up happening, you're talking a couple of years of that, all of a sudden all these orange red eyebrows start producing and it's LI Pigments, and we had to go out there and, you know, put out fires and address it. And, you know, it wasn't fair to LI.
If you're getting weird results like that with LI, you're just not using it correctly.
You're not using it correctly, right? Do you use LI? I don't even know if I've ever asked you. Okay, cool. I do. Well, I do too. As a tatter vet, I do too. I use LI. Some people, you know, I didn't know I was going to be a distributor or have a store or anything like that. It was not on my radar at all. But I had been using LI for about 6.5 years and I was a trainer. And there was no Facebook, no social media, no nothing back then. So everybody found me word of mouth. But I was a big trainer in the United States. And I went to, you know, people would email me, what do you use? Well, I'm not telling you. That was me back then, right? And I'm not, that was me, I admit it. And of course I used LI, but I wouldn't tell anybody what I used, my secret sauce. So I was like, well, you want to learn? You can come take trainings with me, you know? And so I was just training a lot. And, you know, my 6.5 years after using LI and training, I just get a phone call from LI, you know, and asked me if I wanted to, you know, train on her pigments and maybe sell them. And first I said no. I was really nervous. I'm like, no. You know why I said no? Well, you know, one of my friends asked me, why did you say no? What the hell is wrong with you? One day your hand might be shit. Your back's going to go. How are you going to pay your bills? What's wrong with you? And I'm like, I thought it was going to really mess with my authenticity as a trainer, right? I just really did.
Like you're pushing a product. But
like I was pushing a product.
But it's not
if I'm making money off a product, but I happen to also use it, believe in it, they're going to think I'm pushing a product. And I was so proud of my training. Yeah, I was a rebel artist, trainer. I didn't follow the rules. And so I had a struggle with that. And maybe a week later, I end up calling them back. I'm like, look,
just kidding.
Yeah. If you'll still have me. And so, so I went into that with, you know, 6.5 year love, respect, and relationship for the line. And then I got to know the people behind the line and they are mother, daughter, and it's a super cool company, you know?
Yep.
They're just a bunch of nerds.
I've never had any issues with LI, even, you know, and I'm seeing it you know,
Most people haven't. I think the people that have, the percentage is small.
Quit over-modifying things.
Over-modifying, usually it's, or too shallow.
Yeah.
You know, this whole trend of going too shallow, you know, and it's a big trend right now. They're not wanting to put the pigment down in that upper dermal layer because they're afraid of going gray, things going gray or things, you know, too deep. But look, a pigment's going to perform at its best in that upper dermal layer. It doesn't perform as well when it's superficially implanted, and it doesn't perform as well when it's too deep, right? So you end up with two different issues when it's too deep or too superficial. So you want to put it right.
Sweet spot.
In that sweet spot, that upper dermal layer. Yeah. But people are afraid of the sweet spot, Tara.
I don't know why.
I know. It is sweet there. I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about, PMU?
Oh, man. I have to decide now.
No?
I don't know. Well, I like being asked questions a little bit
better. Are we missing anything, Callie?
Yes, fair enough.
You
got
a
nurse. Oh. Oh, yeah. How did you get into permanent makeup?
Well, that's a good one, Callie. Well, I got into permanent makeup before I got into body tattooing. Okay, so this is a time in my life where I was a cocktail waitress on the strip wearing a friggin' dress and high heels, believe it or not. I was at TI, Treasure Island on the strip. But I was not in a good place in my life. I was probably on a bad path. Dark, dark, right? Not good. I was a depression, just all kinds of shit going on. Not good.
Just off about those high heels.
Yeah. Hey, girl, snap. You hear that? You hear that, Olivia? Snap, girl. Took me about 3 months, and then I was like all over that casino carrying, you know, tray load of drinks. Oh, so man. Yeah, I was all over the place, but it was good. It was good. But, and there was just something cool and exciting being a cocktail waitress on the Vegas Strip, right? I'm from a small town in Maine. So, and I'm a lesbian, you know? And so, and I looked like a little boy. So the other cocktail waitresses showed me how to put on like lip liner. Yeah. Lip liner and do my, back then we wore lip liner, you know? So anyway, I did not have good brows, right? I lost a lot of hair. And so I always had my my eyebrow pencil like in my back pocket. Like it was always on my thing. And don't mess with my eyebrows. And I had a friend, you know, a gay guy friend. He would always like to, you know, when we go drinking, he'd like to smudge them off.
I had
and,
a friend like that.
Yeah, mess with me. And I'm like, yeah. It's like, I'm going to kill you, man. Mm-hmm. You're like, smear my eyebrows off one more time. You know, it's like my face. So I was always a freak about my own eyebrows. And so I wanted to get out of cocktail and get back to art. I was always an artist. I was born an artist. I drew portraits, painted like you, little kid.
Yeah, I do portraits.
Teenage
too.
Years. Yeah, me yep. too. Spent, you know, my whole childhood, teenage years doing that. Got away from it. Got into a dark spot. Moved to Vegas. Cocktails. No eyebrows.
Heels and a dress.
Heels and a dress. So I thought I wanted to be a makeup artist. I didn't know permanent makeup existed. Didn't know it existed 22 years ago. So makeup artist. Why not? Right? So I went to esthetician school. I'll go and be a makeup artist. And then I'll move to LA because there's lots of pretty lesbians in LA. And then I'll learn like movie set makeup and do like the, you know, gun wounds and like, you know, all that extreme stuff. That was my plan. But I get into esthetician school and there's like this older lady just retiring from PMU. And this is a long story. I got to make it short. So anyway, when I was like, what's that? It's permanent makeup. You mean I can tap my eyebrows on? Okay. I go to her house with my mom. My mom comes with me. She never cleans me. She's in a bag. You know, she gets out this bottle of pigment, doesn't draw nothing on, and just lays me down on her lazy boy.
You know? Love that. Nice and comfortable.
Yeah. She did put a trash bag under my head and she tattoos my eyebrows. But when I sit up, I got one arch higher than the other and she kept trying to fix it. And I was getting frustrated. It was my face. So I asked her, can I? So she gives me a machine and I rounded out my own eyebrow and, you know, and try to fix my arches. I was telling Callie the other day when it healed, it all healed out because it wasn't deep enough on my own face. But anyway, that's when I knew, you know, I looked at my mom and I'm like, mom, this is for me. Like, I need to be doing this. Like, I want to do permanent makeup. I think I could be really good at this. And I think, you know, maybe
go get me a lazy boy right now.
Yeah, exactly. Go get me a lazy boy. And that got me on my path. You know, I went and did an apprenticeship and it sucked. You know, I was allowed to go once or twice a week for 6 months. And I didn't, you know, I wasn't really good at cleanliness. So I had the basics down, but, you know, and 3 years into my permanent makeup career, I got into a body tattoo shop and, you know, and then got a good tribe of PMU artists around me. And there you go.
And then here we are.
And here we are. Yeah. So
love that.
Yeah, that's how I got started. So before we go, we do have a lot in common, you and I. Like, I don't know if we look like we would have
badasses.
Yeah. Well, I don't consider myself a badass.
It's okay. We are.
I know. I really don't. But so you like pink. I like pink.
Pink's
who would have thought two
color.
Girls like you and I would like pink?
I love it. It's my favorite.
Right? Yeah. Okay. I love pink too. But I like it like up against black.
Black
like,
and pink are the best.
Yeah. I like pink and like fucking baby blue.
No. My mom's bridesmaids dresses were like really kind of not the normal. They were black and pink. Like they were cool. Like
they were
black
cool. And pink polka dots. It's got to be a certain kind of pink, right?
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Yep. Like a pink.
Yep.
Yeah. I love pink.
Best color combination.
Yeah. Me, black and pink. I love that too. All right, and what else? We fish.
Yep,
I grew up fishing. Fish. Yep. I don't catch them. You catch these like big ass fishes,
monsters.
Though.
Yeah,
yeah. I watch that show on monsters on National Geographic.
I
sometimes
I need to be on that fishing.
Yeah,
I
yeah, that's good. Do you eat your fish?
Depends where I am. There's a lot of wild fish, and you can't keep those. Oh,
so do you catch and release?
Yeah, catch and release. Sometimes I'll keep hatchery fish, salmon. When I salmon fish, I keep the salmon.
Oh yeah,
salmon's delicious.
Yeah.
Steelhead, I'll usually release it.
Okay.
Unless I want to can some stuff
okay.
up.
Okay. Good. All right. And the other thing, we're both Beliebers.
I love Justin Bieber.
Me too. I love him so much.
I know. He's so sweet.
I know. And sometimes I get embarrassed that, you know, some of my friends make fun of me, but I love Justin Bieber.
Say you don't love him, I just assume you're lying.
Yeah.
In denial, because I don't know how you can't love Justin Bieber. So
no, I love Justin Bieber.
Whoever says they don't.
I am a Belieber. And, you know, his new clothing line, Drew House, right? You can't get that shit anywhere. I have been trying and trying and trying. Can't get it. It's all sold out when you go to his website. And I wanted a Drew shirt so bad. So for Christmas, Kat had to go on. She got me one for Christmas.
We're not going
to
ask how.
But she had to go on eBay. It was like $300. I think they retail on a store for like $150.
It's so worth it.
Yeah, it's so worth it. Still, it's a t-shirt for $150, but it's
that's your t-shirt.
But it's the Biebs,
yep.
Right?
He's worth it.
Yeah, yeah. So she did. She found it. So they're selling them on eBay for like $300. Yeah.
Probably more now.
Yeah, probably more now. So I got my Drew
I'm
House
stoked
shirt.
For you for that.
I know. I'm going to take a picture of it.
A little jealous, but...
Yeah, I'm going to do a selfie with it on. I hate selfies, though. I'm not good at selfies. Tara, you're so good at selfies. I see your selfies
Thank
online.
You.
Yeah, but you take pretty selfies, and my selfies are not attractive.
Love a good selfie, because you're in control. I was working out at the Brow Project in Dallas with Nicole, and her photographer and video dude was there, and I was like, okay, I hate this. I hate everything about this right now. She's like, you have to get your pictures done. I was like, what? You know, I just wasn't prepared. She told me before I was out there, I just wasn't prepared anyway. I don't care. I'm never going to be prepared for that. And I was just standing there so uncomfortable. I got the pictures back. I'm like, man, the only one I like, I'm flipping the camera off.
Oh, you know, yeah, like, yeah,
if
yeah.
If you want to use that for your site, you know, I think that's the one. You know,
right,
I told her,
but, right.
Yeah. A selfie, I'm like, can I just do this myself?
I'm not good at selfies. And then, you know, so do you think... So some people, so what do you think about, like, I feel stupid posting a selfie of myself. I think everybody, okay, when I post a selfie of myself, I think everybody out there is going, oh my God, she's posting a selfie of herself.
Like, I hope everyone's saying that about me. I'm like, good.
You think good.
This is bad. I'm going to post 10 more right after.
Yeah,
that.
Right. I know. We were just talking.
A selfie.
And I shouldn't care what other people think. We were just talking about that, right? About that song, that lyric. Do you remember?
Which one?
You know.
Oh,
you can't please everyone.
You can't please everyone.
You want to sing it?
So you got to please yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, about selfies.
Yeah. So that's a song like from the 70s. You can't please everyone. So got to please yourself.
There we go. I like that motto.
I know. But I still worry about what people think. I wish I didn't.
I
sucks at you. Think
but
about that.
I wish that I did. I think that
so
I
you
could,
wish that you
I wish I
did
had,
care what people thought a little
bit. Just a little
bit.
More yeah. probably saved me
so
some
if I
trouble.
Post selfies of myself on Instagram, if I start this whole new trend and I post like a selfie, you're going to think I'm like stupid?
No,
you're going to make fun
like
of me?
Them all.
You will like them all?
Queen work, yeah.
Well, I had to post a selfie with my Drew House shirt. So I probably took like 40 the other day. And I hated every one of them. And I'm going around the house and I'm looking for
hey,
different backdrops. I know, but then I go on Instagram and I look at how are everybody else doing their selfies. Like, what's behind them? Like, how they and I'm practicing my poses, Olivia. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I don't know.
You know, with filters and all the lights we have in here.
I'm trying.
No excuse.
I'm trying. So yeah, I'm going to post it. I had one that came out pretty good, but I look really
It only
like,
takes one, you know.
I know.
100 pictures.
But I'm looking off to
one.
The side and down at the
floor.
So you
don't even have to look at the camera.
It looks a little sexy.
Forget
my wife is
camera.
Like, oh, that's kind of sexy.
There you go.
I wasn't trying to be sexy, though.
When you're not trying as much.
Yeah, but I don't like looking at the camera.
I need to do one right now.
A selfie?
Do you want practice?
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm not good at it
Get
at all.
Get a selfie on right now.
I've got a filter on for you, too.
You got a filter on for me?
Yep.
Okay. 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 Oh, and you got the pop socket.
So just don't hold it from down here, because nobody, you know.
Well, no, because then your neck shit shows.
The
right.
The neck and chin. You just okay. Got to go up a little higher.
Where's your button? Right there?
It's that middle dot.
So what's the best way to do it?
Just like that.
Like that?
Look at it.
And then do it. I don't like when girls do this.
I don't like that either. Just
I hate
look
that.
Straight. Look like, I just try to look like
The biggest bitch possible.
Just mean mug it.
I'll get Olivia in it. Okay, ready, Olivia? See, stupid. I
no,
see it as stupid.
See. It turned out good.
No, it's goofy. Look.
No, it's good.
Come on, that's goofy.
Good. That's all
you right.
Need.
We'll post this for everybody to see. All right.
Selfie good. Practice.
All right.
It's important.
Good. All right.
You'll get it. You just need to do it more.
All right. Well, hey, Tara. Thanks for doing this with me. Did you like it? You were super nervous.
I was. And then we didn't think to plan like, oh, well, I'm not going to have any makeup on and my face is going to be all crusty from this removal session I'm getting right beforehand.
Yeah. And it wasn't rehearsed. We just sat down and talked about what do you want to talk about?
I was like, oh, man, I should have removed these face tattoos right after. But, you know, here I am. Little swollen and crusty, but happy to be here.
But you got a good look no matter what you got going on. Yeah. So you enjoyed it?
Beautiful studio.
Thank you.
Everyone's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a good jam.
Good vibes. Good team.
It is. Yeah. It makes you not mind having to go to work when you got a great place
it's
to go.
It's very comfortable here, which is important. Like,
yeah.
Like
and all the girls are great.
Stiff, you know?
Yeah. We have fun. Sometimes we get on each other's nerves, but that's a studio full
of women.
Yeah. It's no, rough. But we really all do love each other. So it's cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Love that.
So, you know, you saw me drinking on my, my Tatterfact mug. My girls got me this for Christmas. And
it's
it has
so
a little love inscription on the back. It does, like, because they love me. But I saw this and I'm like, oh my God, I got to have these for my guests. I got to be like the morning show, the Today Show, you know, with their Today
with
mugs. You know what I'm talking about, right? So I ordered 30 or 40 of these, but they didn't get here in time. So, but I'm going to send you a Tatter Effect mug.
I'm so excited about
it. Yeah, all my guests are going to get a Tatter Effect mug. You got a mug thing?
I just had the conversation with Callie on the way here. We were stopping at Starbucks. I'm like, I want that mug up there.
Yeah.
She's like, what's up? I'm like, I just have a thing for coffee cups.
Oh, that's funny. Do you like this one?
I love it.
Yeah. Okay.
The neon vibe. Maybe
yeah, that's right. Okay. So I'll send you one.
Best name too.
Tatter Effect.
Love it.
Couldn't get what I wanted. Couldn't get the second one I wanted. Couldn't get the third one I wanted. I think this was like the fifth.
I like it.
Good. Okay. Me too. It's grown on me. It grew on me. But so, hey, I just want to thank you. So, you train, so let's just give everybody your credentials. So Tara Smith, she is in, where's her camera? Right there? That's your camera?
On a lazy boy. No,
you're a good trainer.
Yes, I've trained with Girls Inc. I've trained with Jen Boyd, Will Anthony.
And you do training. So if someone wants to come train with you, they can train with you.
And I'm still taking trainings.
How do they contact you?
My Instagram is Tara Smith PMU. I guess Facebook, if people still use it, it's just Tara Smith Cosmetic Tattoo.
All right, good.
Yeah.
And if they forget or can't find you, you guys can contact us. We'll put you in touch with Tara. But yeah, if you're down in the Northern California area and you want some beautiful PMU, Tara's your girl.
Thanks.
All right. So again, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're awesome. All right, guys. So we are going to wrap this up. Tara, my guest. So thanks for joining me, and we will see you next time on Tatter Effect. Take it away, Olivia.